is that your husband was shot 3 times and he was scared for his life. He ran for his life. And you know more than what you're telling me.
How is this possible when I've been in the bed all night?
Let me tell you, your daughter is fixing to be without a mother. She is fixing to go through graduation,
no.
Hating you. She is going to go
I
through
swear,
being married.
I was in my bed.
Looking in your phone. Honey, you're not innocent.
This is Angela Wilty, and she is far from innocent, though she certainly likes playing the part. After her husband of 15 years was gunned down in front of their suburban home in the early hours of the morning, law enforcement is looking in her direction, and she's convinced she can throw them off her trail, in spite of all the evidence piling up against her as the interrogation progresses.
I've always been there to protect him. Black and white don't lie. You hear me? Black and white don't lie.
I'm not screwing around on my husband.
Your text messages say differently.
In the early morning on March 28, 2018, dispatch in Olive Branch, Mississippi received a 911 call from a homeowner who reported there was a dead man at the end of his driveway. When law enforcement arrived on the scene, they found their victim face down on the asphalt. A search of his person turned up his wallet, revealing that his name was John Wilty. John was a hardworking man with 6 children. He had taken on a parenting role at a very young age when his own father passed away, forcing him to step up for his siblings and mother. Surprisingly, the address on his license was just 2 doors down from where he took his final breath. A trail of red led to his car, where the doors were still wide open. It was clear to investigators that he had been ambushed while he was getting into his car to go to work. Not wanting his wife of 15 years, Angela, to find out about his death by walking out her front door into the crime scene, law enforcement approached her and gently broke the news to her. But her response was no response at all. She seemed unfazed by the news. Law enforcement asked her to join them at the station for questioning, which is standard for the spouse of the deceased. What happened in the interrogation room, however, was far from standard. The footage you are about to see was collected by our team from the Olive Branch Police Department. Soon after arriving at the station, the detective begins by asking Angela where she was the night before her husband's murder. Specifically, she asks if she picked up her daughter from school. It's a simple question, so you'd assume her answer would also be. But Angela somehow turns this into a dissertation that, in her mind, proves just how hard she's trying to help detectives.
No. What was yesterday?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, yeah, because I worked yesterday. We had appliances delivered over there. And I picked up my daughter from school at time did I pick her up yesterday? I know Wednesday she got picked up at 6. Yesterday was tryout, so it was like 4:30, I guess. No, wait, what? Oh my God, that's why I needed my book. I write down everything. I picked her up from school yesterday. I do know it was after 4.
Do you have a text message from her saying, hey, Mom, or anything like that?
I don't still. Okay, 5:08, she texted me and said she was done. I'll take that back because I worked yesterday. I told her I was on my way back to Olive Branch, so Dad went and picked her up. I said I headed to school unless you call your dad because he's already home. That was at 5:19. Dad went and picked her up yesterday, and I met them at the house.
Did y'all drive in all at the same time?
No, I actually got to the house right, right before him. And then me and her went to Walmart, because she comes in there and she's like, Mom, Dad wouldn't take me to Walmart. She gets aggravated. She's a spoiled child. She's like, gotta have everything. So I had to take her to Walmart to get some stuff for a project.
Okay.
And when we got back from Walmart, he was in the bathroom getting ready to take his shower. And when he got out of the shower, he asked me if I picked him up any drinks or anything for work. And I said no, that I didn't, because he does a lot of the grocery shopping, because I work a lot. He works a lot, but he likes to shop, or I hate to shop. So he left and went to Walmart and bought some drinks, and he texted me a few times asking me if I needed anything.
How did he go to Walmart?
This continues for another 5 minutes, but we'll save you sitting through the rambling that the detective had to endure. Finally, Angela decides to call her daughter and see if she can lend a helping hand with her conveniently spotty memory.
So yesterday when he got home, you got home at about whatever time?
This is gonna bother me.
Do you have a text from Kate?
I'm gonna ask her. Who picked you up from school yesterday, baby? Dad picked you up. All right, and did y'all come straight home after that? Okay, and then after you got home, that's when me and you went to Walmart. Okay, baby. All right, I'll call you back soon. I love you. Bye, baby.
Yeah, I hit her up. All right. So
and now I took her to Walmart to get her stuff for her project.
Okay. And did you and him argue at any point yesterday? Were y'all arguing, fussing?
We have arguments like every other normal couple.
Mm-hmm.
Because we work a lot. We have a lot of debt over our head. We're just now getting to where we can see above water.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes, like I said, he likes to shop. But he likes to do his own thing too.
Right.
So yeah, we had one of our normal arguments.
And what was that
over
about?
Money.
Financial arguments?
Yeah. Because he wants a car. He don't like the truck. And we can't get another car. Because when his other car got stolen, before he came back to me, his car got stolen. And we had to get that one paid off.
The insurance didn't pay for it?
He had just had it. He got it like that December. Mm-hmm. He made the down payment in December because he had totaled his previous truck. So what he got back on the truck, he put money down on the car. And being said, I guess the blue book value of the car, he gave more than what it was really worth. And the insurance paid a good bit of it. We still owed a few thousand on it. So within the last year and a half, we tried to clear up all his debt that he got into while he wasn't with me.
Okay, and you said y'all broke up when?
2015. We had a big fight. It was August 21st.
2015?
Yeah.
And what was that argument over?
He was drinking Jägermeister, which John never drinks hard liquor. He's not a drinker. I've got 4 Bud Lights that's been in my refrigerator for probably a year.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't drink.
Okay. He never drinks?
He hasn't drank anything since he's been back. He might have drank 2. There was a 6-pack. He won periodically, but he's not a drinker.
But on August 21st, he was drinking Jaeger.
Yeah.
Where did y'all leave then?
We weren't together.
Okay.
We were living separately. He lived in an apartment. I lived at the house, and he called me over to the apartment. He had been drinking. We had a big fight prior to the incident, and he beat the shit out of me.
So you went over to the apartment, y'all ran into a fight, and then he beat you up, and then what happened?
He went to jail.
You called police?
No, I didn't. I wasn't able to call the police. He was trying to kill me. I told my son, you should have never called the cops. He's like, Mom, you cut him open.
You cut him open?
During the incident, and I don't even remember doing that.
Where'd you cut him?
On his knees.
Both of them?
That's what he told me. Because when I've always carried a pocket knife on me, which I don't have today, but I guess when he was, because I know he had me on the ground beating me in my head, telling me he's going to kill me, and I don't know, that fight or flight kicked in, and I just went to swinging, thinking that he would back up. I don't know, but like I said, with us drinking, we moved past it.
It's hard not to feel sympathy for Angela here while she's painting herself as an innocent wife under the oppressive rule of an aggressive husband. But the story she's telling isn't exactly the truth. At the time of this argument, Angela and John lived separately because, allegedly, Angela left him for another man. John moved in with his co-worker Kyle, who was a first-hand witness to what happened between the couple. During this argument in 2015, Angela wasn't on the ground being hit and threatened by John, as she claims. She was arguing with him in a parking lot about her infidelity and pulled out the knife in anger, slashing him. In other words, the toxic relationship wasn't quite as one-sided as Angela is painting it out to be.
And you said you went to bed what time last night?
I was about 10:30 or 11. I told my daughter to take her shower. She had a friend over last night.
What time did your friend leave?
About 8:37. Maybe a little bit after 9, because they were doing their project for school. And after she left, I told Kate, I said, Kate, you need to get in the shower, baby. You need to get your shower done. You know, it was 10:36 on the clock, and Kate was still in the bathroom, and I hollered at her and told her, it was after 10:30. She needed to get to bed.
Okay. And what kind of gun do you have?
It's a 9mm Ruger. It's loaded.
Is it the LC9?
Mm-hmm. I have my box to it. I left it on my bed, but I have my box, but I can't find my receipt.
That's fine. Where'd you buy it?
Sports Authority. It's in South Haven.
Sportsman's Warehouse?
I think so.
The big,
You know, if you go in and you buy a gun, they don't let you go out the front door. They always take you out the front, but it's through the office part.
Through the office area and out the front. So
Let me borrow your cell phone if you don't mind. I'm going to do a cell phone dump a bit.
Do you need to get a consent form?
Either consent or I can do search on my daughter one.
Can I text my daughter real quick?
Sure.
And let her know not to.
That's fine. It won't bother anything. It'll all be in order.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it won't bother anything.
No. Is there a passcode or anything?
It shouldn't lock. Here, I'll take it off, though. Connection sounds, notifications.
lock screen.
Oh, where was that?
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
Screen laptop.
Look at you.
I had to do this all day.
Do you have any objections to him?
No. I feel like I'm being accused here now.
You're,
but
no, this no. is a process of elimination. You know, when a spouse, something happens to a spouse, you have to eliminate the other spouse. And I think we've been talking and trying to get a background here. I don't think anything's been said that would make you feel like you were.
Double check, make sure it ain't gone.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll come back with the consent form right quick.
Angela may feel like she's being accused, but in reality, the detective questioning her has been going relatively easy on her. That's about to change when they return to the room. And it will change even more once they uncover the secrets she's hiding on her phone.
You're a boss in Florida. How long did you say you worked for him?
I've been working for him since about June of last year. I went to New York with him and done a house over there. My husband liked him. It's the only reason I was allowed to work for him. And he knows I'm not doing nothing. I don't have that drive to do nothing. I just want to work.
So, if I go over here to the trailer park and pick your boss up from Florida, is he going to say the same thing? No relationship between you and him at all?
He's actually in off of Walnut Grove.
Right,
yeah.
Memphis.
But yeah.
What did I say, Walls?
You said, no, you said over here at the trailer park.
Angela has seemed to miss the point of the question. Her correcting the detective does give her time to think of what a loyal spouse would say.
But if we go up there and talk to him, is he going to tell me something?
He'll come here and talk to you.
Okay.
He's worried about me right now. So I had texted him this morning, told him I couldn't come in.
Who did you call earlier and say you couldn't come in?
Him.
And what was he asking you?
He was asking me what was going on. I said I couldn't talk about it right now. Just I can't come to work right now.
Okay.
But, I don't know, he wanted to come out to my house. And I told him, I said, no, everything's going to be fine. I'm okay.
What are you
He asked me if my daughter was okay, because apparently he feels like something's wrong. I told him I couldn't come to work, so never miss work unless I'm sick. And if I'm sick, I'm going to tell him I'm sick.
I mean, just talking to you, you're calm, you're cool, I feel like there's more to y'all's relationship than what you're actually letting me know.
Mm-hmm.
You're using your husband, y'all fighting and not getting along and all that.
Me and my husband hadn't been fighting, like, just recently.
Like,
because he's stressed. He is very stressed over money. Because he knows he owes a lot of money to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And manage money.
How much money would you say you have in your account right now?
He just got paid yesterday.
So y'all aren't hurting?
We're not hurting, no. But I don't always tell him everything we have.
So he doesn't know you have $16,000 somewhere else?
He does know. He knows we got money. He don't know exactly how much. Because if he knew exactly how much, we would be running out buying something we don't need right now. My thing is I want to pay all of our bills off, which we're working on it. He just paid Con's off the other day. It was like $570 for some furniture crap that we probably don't need. But he likes to shop. He wants a sports car, the one that we can't afford. And I could be okay with that if we didn't have the truck payment. I just can't see having two really, really high payments. Because I don't work every day. I don't work all the time. Like, winter months, it's hard to find some work. Because I can't work in the cold at all. It kills me.
Does your husband talk to the guy you worked in Florida? Does he talk? Do they have, like, a talking friendship? Do they call each other and talk?
No, they don't talk to each other on the phone.
They text or anything like
no,
that?
No, they don't. No.
Does your husband text anybody? Just you, other than you? And
no, he texts his kids, Franco, Terry. A lot of dirty pictures to the guys at work, men stuff. But no, me and my husband don't have a horrible relationship. Have normal family issues.
Because I've been doing this a long time, okay? I got 20 years just at this point.
I'm scared to death right here. I ain't okay. Even gonna lie, I ain't never been in the jailhouse like this.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, I was geared towards thinking you shot him, okay? And then I looked at the crime scene, and I walked it, and I looked at it. That man was running for his life. Somebody was after that man. He ran four houses from your house. And he was scared for his life. Do you remember seeing the towel on the ground?
I've seen that.
Is that y'all's towel?
I don't remember ever having a towel.
You don't know. Have towels that color?
I don't think so.
So you don't know where that towel came mm-hmm. from? Did he have one in the truck that he sat on? Did he have one in the back seat?
I don't know. I never get in the truck. My daughter drives the truck when she's with her dad.
So basically you and your husband exist in a house together and y'all pretty much have separate lives. That's what I'm hearing from you.
We don't really have separate lives, but, you know, we both get up, we go to work. He leaves early. It's crap. So he's tired when he comes home. And he's in the bed earlier than me, because I'm not going to go to bed and go to sleep until I know my daughter's in bed. That's my main focus, is my kid.
According to Angela's phone records, however, her main focus wasn't her kids. It was texting other suitors. Upon examining her call, text, and email history, officers managed to uncover several extensive chat logs Angela had with other men, including a certain someone that the detective is fixated on. Angela's boss, Shabby. Perhaps that's because when she asked earlier if Angela was sleeping with him, she changed the topic not once, not twice, but three times, and never answered directly. Which is a liar's way of saying, well, duh.
Does your boss from Florida, does he do drugs?
I wouldn't think so.
And what does he drive?
Who?
Your boss from Florida.
Dodge Caliber.
So how does he pull his RV?
He pulled the car with the RV.
So it's a motorhome?
Yeah.
Okay. So he drives up here with the motorhome with the car attached to it. And how long does he stay here when he's here?
It depends on what he's got going. The house in Memphis on James Street we did, it took us a little over a month to complete the house. And then he left and went back to, he went to Florida. Then him and his wife went out to New York and back to Florida. He's here now because a guy from New York owns a duplex off of Park Avenue. And they're redoing the roof on it right now. So I told him I can't go back to work there until, I'm not getting on that roof. Tree fell there and it just does not look safe. And I told him, I said, my husband and kid needs me at home every night. So I'm not getting on the roof. You're going to have to hire that one out.
On these cell phones, when we dump them, they can get all the deleted information and all the current information, okay? So if there's something in that phone that would implicate you in anything, you need to let me know now, okay? Because this is the critical point right here, okay? So if you've been having an affair or anything like that, I need to know it.
I ain't been having no affair. I talk a lot of shit with people, but I ain't been having no affair.
Like, who do you talk shit with?
I talk shit with everybody. But when it comes down to sleeping with somebody, that's my husband. If I'm gonna have sex with somebody, I'm gonna have sex with my husband.
And you've never had an affair with Shavi?
No.
But you've been to New York with him?
Me, yes. I've been to New York with him. I've been to Florida to his and his wife's house.
Was she there?
Yes.
Where do they live in Florida?
Hudson. I'm faithful to my husband when it comes to laying down with another man.
Do you think your husband was out buying drugs when he would take money out of the account?
I can't say that. He tells me he just likes to have money on him. I like to have a little bit of money on me too, but not $200-$400 at a time.
And last night you never heard any gunshots or anything?
It's a good thing that Angela smoked that cigarette because as the detective has been questioning her, other officers have been paging through her phone for information. They didn't have to look far to find concerning things.
Okay. Now, I told you that phones, when we download them, we can get information that was deleted. So, I got a little more information, and I need you to be completely honest with me, okay? I know some things have been going on between you and John, and y'all hadn't been getting along.
We've been arguing a good bit, but to me, it's normal crap because we argue about everything. Okay. We're totally opposite, and no argument is worth all this, honest to God. any argument him and I've ever had is worth this.
Well, by looking in your phone, there's some things in there that I think you're being deceptive about, okay, with me.
What?
Like, these people you talk shit to, like you said. Who have you been having an affair with?
I'm not having an affair.
Do you just leave these guys on and make them think you want to be with them?
I don't want to be with nobody but my husband.
The stuff that's in your phone leads me to believe that you have been having an affair. Okay? So, I need you to be completely honest with me. Because phones don't lie.
No, I know.
Okay? Texting don't lie. It's there. It's in black and white. And the stuff that's in his phone, he's gonna leave you.
I figured that's probably what we were coming to when we started back fighting over money. It's always fighting over money.
But you have... The money's not the issue right now. The issue is that your husband was shot 3 times and he was scared for his life. He ran for his life. And you know more than what you're telling me. And you can't sit here and tell me you don't. You know more than what you're telling me.
I don't know anything as far as him getting hurt, because I would never want to see him get hurt. I've always been there to protect him.
Black and white don't lie. You hear me? Black and white don't lie. Phone calls, cell phone locations.
What's that mean?
It means I can ping anywhere in this town and they will tell me what cell phone was in that location. Okay?
And the location, like this morning?
Yeah.
When I was asleep?
Yeah. But you know who came over there?
I don't. I swear I don't.
Do you know I can pull all that off your phone? I've got it downloaded right now. Text messages. Phone calls. Conversations.
I know Shavi was supposed to come and wake me up this morning.
What time was Shavi supposed to come wake you up?
He was supposed to come over at 5:30 and wake me up.
Wake you up for what?
To go to work. Get up, get my daughter to
school.
Why
would he come over there and wake you up?
Because that's him. That's what he does sometimes.
You've been having an affair with him, hadn't you?
I swear I haven't. I've never slept with that man.
You've been leading him on?
Nope. We've talked. We've got a lot in common, but no. I'm not screwing around on my husband.
Your text messages say differently.
I know. It seems like we've had an affair.
But you have had an affair with that man.
I swear.
That man came over this morning and shot your husband, didn't he?
No. I swear I don't know that. You call him and get him in here, but I don't even know that he ever came out there. I swear to you.
If he was supposed to be there at 5:00 this morning.
I told him he could come over at 5:30 and ring my doorbell and wake me up.
Why do you think your husband wanted to leave?
I don't know.
Because he found out you were having an affair.
So why hadn't he talked to me?
Why would he want to? He just wanted to leave. And your boyfriend shot him.
I don't know that.
You don't know that?
I swear I don't. I don't even know if Shavi owns a gun.
How long you been seeing Shavi?
I haven't been seeing Shavi.
I've been working for Shavi. Shavi's the one came to my house last night and was working with my husband on the truck.
But is this something you and him put together?
What?
You and Shavi, is this something you and him put together to get rid of your husband?
No. I would have never, never had someone to kill my husband. He is too good of a person for this. He could have had a better life. Nobody, it's not worth killing somebody to be with somebody. It's not worth it. That's crazy.
Have you led Shavi to the point to where he thinks you were going to leave your husband to be with him?
Shavi knew me and my husband were arguing and had some problems. Shavi talked to me. He tried to guide me a little bit, but we've never slept together.
What was he guiding you to?
Telling me how, because I suck when it comes to words. I suck when it comes to trying to talk to somebody.
Well, by your text messages, you don't have a problem at all.
I don't have a problem talking
to other men.
Well, yeah.
Okay? You don't have a problem talking to other men. I mean, truth's truth, right?
Right.
It's in black and white. Can't lie about it. Did you walk outside and shoot your husband this morning?
I was in bed. I was actually laid in the bed beside my husband at 10:36 when my daughter was coming out of the bathroom.
I don't believe you. By reading your text messages, I don't believe you one bit.
Angela's story is finally starting to fail her. I don't know about you, but I've never had my boss drive to my home to wake me up at 5:30 in the morning on the same day my spouse happens to get murdered. In addition, Angela suddenly recounting the exact time her daughter came out of the bathroom, 10:36, is wildly different from her earlier 10-minute struggle to remember what time she went to Walmart.
By reading your text messages, Granger ain't gonna blame you either.
I never hurt my husband.
You know who did?
Not like that.
You know who did?
I don't.
How long have you and Shavi been talking?
I've been working for Shavi since June.
So y'all been talking June? You've been leaving him on since June.
I hadn't been leaving him on.
By your text messages, it's a different thing.
I hadn't let nobody on.
When you talk to a man like that, what do you think it does to him? Woman to woman. If I talk to a man like you talk to Chavez, or Chavez, whatever his name is, that man's going to think you want to be with him. Right?
I know if I don't.
But you don't talk like that to somebody. It puts them in a different frame of mind about you and them. And that's, you know who shot the man.
I don't.
Your daughter is not going to have a mother. Because when I take your phone and all your phone records and his phone and all his phone records and present them to the grand jury, your daughter will finish school and graduate and get married and have children without her mother. Because I'm put the hammer on you.
I don't know why he did it.
You can sit here and think about it for a few minutes, and I'll be back in here. When you get ready to tell me the truth, I'll listen to you. But when I take you down there and present you to the grand jury, your daughter will finish school without you.
I can walk out now, right?
No.
I'm not under arrest.
You're not leaving.
this, Lord Jesus, please help me. Who did this?
The detective doesn't have to wait until trial to drop the hammer on Angela. She just did. By leaving Angela alone with her thoughts and not allowing her to leave, the detective is hoping to increase her anxiety. And clearly, she's done just that.
I don't mean to be mean to you, okay? We just gotta find out what's going on, okay? Because whoever shot him, he knew. Whoever shot him approached him at the car and shot him. He ran, screaming and yelling for help. He was shot twice in the chest and once in the head.
Oh my God.
And like I said, I don't want to be mean to you.
I would never in my life take my husband away from my daughter like that.
But would Chavez would
do
that?
I don't believe he would do that. I honestly, God, I don't believe he would do that.
I know the man was scared to death. And the man, whoever...
He's scared if somebody had a gun pointing to me.
He ran through the yards, out in the road, back into the yards, and was shot again.
I would rather him leave me, split up, than something like this happen to him.
This is a terrible, terrible, unfortunate event for you and your daughter and his children, because now they don't have a father. And by looking in your phone, honey, you're not innocent.
I may not be innocent from talking to guys, but I had nothing to do with my husband. I could not see somebody losing their life over no kind of argument. I couldn't take my husband away from his daughter like this. Me and this man is all that child has.
Have y'all just maybe fallen out of love, you and him? Maybe you didn't love him anymore that way. That's what you were going to these other men for, how they talked to you or whatever, the things that they said to you, even though if you wasn't sleeping with them.
None of it is worth this.
Remember how when you were a teenager, okay, you and John met, y'all talking, texting, whatever, back 16 years ago, I don't think texting was that prominent, but you remember the feelings that you had when somebody engaged you and made you feel like a new person? The text messages between, how do you say his name, Chavez?
Shabby.
Why do you call him that when his name is
start?
When I first met him, that's what I was introduced was Shabby.
Just Shabby.
S-H-A-B-I.
Because it seems like you and him text quite a bit. I mean, did he take it the wrong way, I wonder? Do you think he's capable of doing something like that?
I don't think so.
Anybody that you hang out with, do you think they're capable of doing something like that?
I wouldn't think so. I don't hang out with
right.
a bad crowd. I get up, I go to work, take my daughter to school, I go to work. I work all day and I come home.
When you're at work, do you flirt with those guys?
I work with Theo.
Which is your stepdad?
That's not the person I work with. I work with Shelby. And normally when I'm working with Shelby, Theo's with me. Or my dad's with me.
Have you met Shelby outside of work without anybody else?
A couple of times, but nothing.
In public? Were y'all?
Yeah, definitely in public.
I mean, you know, apparently things have gotten so bad that your husband texts several people about rooms for rent. He wanted to leave you.
Well, he got tired of me working all the time. He did tell me that. Because sometimes I'd work till 7 o'clock at night.
But it seems like to me y'all both worked a lot.
And that's what I kept trying to tell him. What is the difference in me working a lot when you're working the same? You're working a lot. You're working overnight. Or are you working overnight?
Well, I have to tell you, Angie, you go by Angie or Angela. By your text messages, honey, it don't look good. It looks like you were having an affair with Shelby. I ain't trying to be mean, but you know when you talk to people in that manner.
Somebody tells me all the time I have that way about me, that I talk to people and I don't realize that I do it. Like, I don't know. John used to say something to me all the time because we'd go to the store and like, all right, hon, thanks. And he gets mad at me for that. But that's just me. I couldn't help it. I was like, all right, sweetie. Thanks, hon. He's like, do you know him? I'm like, no. Well, why do you say that?
Do you say stuff like that to Shelby?
Hon? I call everybody hon.
Do you say, okay, sweetie, okay, darling? You know, just, do you think maybe that this man's gotten attached to you?
I'm sure he's gotten attached to me, but it's not like that type of attachment. He talks and tells me all the time how, you know, we working, because him and I work, like, together. We do things faster than him and I, me and Theo would do them.
Is Theo there when he's there?
Yeah.
So you're never alone with him? Mm-hmm. Except for when you met him outside of work a few times? And then when you went to New York, were you and John together?
Yeah.
And he knew you went to New York?
John was okay with it. I had my own hotel room. He stayed by his wife's daughter's house.
And what did y'all do in New York?
Roofed a house.
So this man works all over.
He owns houses. He owns houses in New York, he owns in Florida, and he owns debris here.
And you've worked for him how long?
Since June.
Of last year?
Yes, ma'am.
And John moved back in August?
Mm-hmm. And John's actually came out on the job with me when I was working in Memphis with Shelby. John's talked to him a lot when he's, like, out.
Has Shelby been arrested that you know of?
I don't know. I don't know anything about his background. The only thing I do know is he's from Israel, originally, but lives in Florida. And I know he lived in New York at one point, and then him and his wife decided to move to Florida, where it was warmer.
How old is this man? 40, 50, 60s?
He's in his 50s.
So he's approximately the same age as your husband, maybe?
I guess.
Whoever shot him walked right up on him and shot him. And then they chased him down and shot him in the head. This was not a crime of coincidence. This was somebody wanted John dead. Now your daughter has no father. And your daughter will not have a father to walk her down the aisle or see her graduate or see her grandkids. Your daughter will have an empty hole in her chest and her heart for the rest of her life because somebody has taken her father away from her.
Angela's reaction to being reminded of the pain her daughter will go through growing up without a father is, well, no reaction. And that lack of reaction continues as the detective presses harder.
He never heard the gun. You never heard your husband scream?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
No, well. That's why I'm sitting here. I'm trying to think. I was asleep. I heard the knock on the door, which was more than just a knock, you know. It was
po-po bang?
Yeah. And I was shaking. I woke up shaking. Like, what? You know, it startled me. I didn't know what the crap was going on.
Because for someone whose husband was just violently murdered, you seem like you have no emotions.
Got a lot going through my mind. I know it's going to hit me. I want to know who did it.
You know, if your daughter finds out you had anything to do with this, she'll hate you for the rest of her life.
I'd never do this to my kids. I'd never do nothing to hurt my kids. This would devastate her.
This would crush her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the key to the shed?
No, I knew that, a question.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like I'm going to have to tell an attorney.
No, they're just looking for a gun. We're checking the backyard, the woods behind the house.
Have they been in my house?
No, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're here. So the officer's sitting in your driveway, I do know that. But they want to check the locked shed to see if there's a gun in there. They're walking behind y'all's house. They started from that cove area and they're going through those woods.
Well, I know to go through somebody's personal belongings, they just have a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am being cooperative.
Oh, I know.
I'm not
being overly cooperative. I understand that.
I know I'm innocent. I didn't do it.
And I had
nothing to do with it.
I know you've watched TV, so you know that the spouse is normally...
Always the first person to be suspected.
And that's what we're trying to do, eliminate you, okay? And then I'll need to talk to Caitlin and eliminate her. I don't see a problem with that.
A 15-year-old shoot her daddy.
It's happened.
She was still sleeping.
It's happened. So,
you know, when I was a girl, I
told
her.
I know. I stood by her. You know, it's,
I'd like to know who did it.
It's an unfortunate situation, and now you're working for people you really don't know. Plus, the text messages that you got in your phone can be misleading, especially for a man that may or may not want you. Okay. I hope you understand that. Because you said John's, you know, talked to you about that before, you know. You're kind of like me. You're oblivious to...
I'm super naive.
Yeah.
When it comes to things.
So,
John said he had been on there for 16 years without being naive.
But you're... When we dump a cell phone, it dumps the deleted, and I can look at all your deleted and all your current, okay? I want you to understand that. Okay? I'm going to read.
I'm
going to read it all, okay? I'm just trying to be up front and forward with you, okay?
Well, I know who has the nerve to come into the driveway when nobody ever comes to our house. Theo comes to my house a couple times a year, but he's home for all.
Who?
Theo.
That's your stepfather? What's his real name?
CSO.
That's his real name.
That's his real name. It's on his birth certificate.
And what's his last name?
Norval. N-O-R-V-E-L-L. He was in prison for murder.
You see, these are some things I probably should have known ahead of time. What about your by name father?
Richard. R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
Henard.
H-I-N-N-A-R-D.
Has he ever been locked up?
He's sorry.
How old is CSO?
He's in his 50s. He was born in 50, I think. He's old. He's been out of prison for 5 years. He's on parole. The only way he's allowed to cross state line would be get a piece of paper from his parole officer.
Or do it and nobody know. Have you been saying things to the CO, like, me and John are fighting, tired of his ass?
Well, me and CO talk. We work together. We talk, but I don't think any of my problems with John or our fights would cause him to flip.
And it's CSO.
Yes, ma'am.
I think I'll pull some records on me real quick, okay?
Can I go smoke while you're
there? We'll be afraid to come get you. He'll talk with you.
I don't think he's going to be out.
Angela's stepfather, who served as her father throughout the majority of her life, wasn't just imprisoned for murder. He was imprisoned for murdering the estranged boyfriend of one of his daughters. One night in the 1990s, he walked up to the home of the man, knocked on the door, and shot him point blank. He was sentenced to prison for 60 years, but only served 20. Pretty odd coincidence that another one of his daughters ended up with a dead partner, wouldn't you say?
As you've already seen me, I'm Sergeant Dixon, Major Cox. What we're going to do with this is called an alternate light source, okay? Alternate light source can detect gunshot residue, blood, stains, all that good stuff, okay? So what I'm going to actually have you do is I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to take normal photos of you. Straight up and down, keep your jacket on. Take normal photos of you first, okay? Just me and you. And then I'm going to have him turn on the light. When it turns on the light, I may have you sit down and put your hands on the desk, things like that. We're going to turn off the light, but it's going to be plenty bright enough in here with that light, okay? And then we're going to take more photos. You understand that part? I know it's a lot. All right. Just put your arms right straight up down, as I said.
My husband is dead, and I'm being treated like I killed him.
somebody to come bring you some clothes, okay? The light that they just used, this is my forensic expert, okay? You have gunshot residue all over you.
How is that?
You fired a weapon.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, the evidence proves that you did.
And this jacket, I just got out of my closet this morning. I haven't even worn it since November.
Your hands tell the truth. That little test I did on you, where I swabbed the back of your hand, your palm, and that light that he just used on you, you're going to go to jail.
I haven't seen, well, I've held my gun, but I've not shot a gun.
You don't get residue on you unless you shoot a gun. You have blowback all over you, all over your clothes.
I don't see how that's possible.
All over your pants, all over your hands. Okay?
How is this possible when I've been in the bed all night?
Let me tell you, your daughter is fixing to be without a mother. She is fixing to go through graduation, hating you. She's going to go
married. I'm in my bed.
You're not going to see grandchildren for the rest of your life. Do you understand me?
I'm listening, but I have not been out of my house.
Remember when I told you
that you woke me up this morning?
I knew by your phone. I can ping the towers in that area. Why would you shoot him?
I did not shoot him. I swear I did not shoot my husband. I haven't shot a gun since me and my son went to the gun range.
And how long ago was that?
December. Yeah.
You can either make it easy for yourself, or I can just go ahead and indict you.
Once I charge you. I did not shoot my husband.
The residue that's on your hands would not be there if you hadn't fired a weapon.
I have not fired a weapon.
Okay.
I swear to God, I swear on my child's life, I have not fired a weapon.
You want to tell us what happened this morning?
I was in the bed when the cops woke me up this morning. Yeah.
What happened?
Okay. All right. Can I use your phone since I can't use mine?
What's the bed?
Framed. Angela starts to panic and attempts to open the door to ask detectives a question, which goes about as well as you would expect.
No. Okay. Calm down. It's not trying to.
Yes, ma'am.
I swear to you, I've not shot a gun in months. Several months.
Lady, I won't believe you. Okay?
No, you don't. You're an officer. Y'all like to frame us. Innocent people. That's what's happening.
Okay.
I'm being framed for something I didn't do. I went to sleep at 11 o'clock last night. I woke up when the cops were beating on my door this morning. I have a conscience. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself to take my child's father away from her. This is all she has with her mom and daddy. We don't have family here.
There's nothing that man could do to me in this world to make me want to kill him. He was tied up in outside our home. I don't know. But I know I didn't do it.
You think he was involved in anything work-related or anything that people that he...
I'm not going to put words in his mouth. The man is not here to defend himself. I can't do it to him. I know he liked his pain pills. I know he liked money and what he did with his money, I don't know. But I cannot be framed for something I didn't do.
How did a gunshot residue get on your hand?
I don't know how. That's way beyond me.
I mean, it can only get there if you fire a weapon.
Well, I understand that. Unless what? It's from work. You know, I do construction work. I use those nails with the hammers to hammer the stuff into the concrete. That's the only other way.
Angela, gunshot residue would not be on your hands if you had not picked up a gun and fired it.
I have not shot a gun.
The evidence does not lie.
I have not shot a gun in months. I put that on my daughter's life, and that's my whole life right there.
Well, your daughter's up here.
Okay. I have not shot a gun in months. Months, months, months. The last time I shot a gun was with my son at the gun range.
All those pictures we just took? All that gunshot residue's all over you. Your hands are glowing.
I don't know how.
Because you shot a gun.
I haven't shot a gun. God's my witness, I have not shot a gun.
And let me just explain something to you, okay?
Why would I be sitting here?
You lied to me.
But Angela is not the only one lying. This may be a good time to mention that legally, law enforcement is allowed to lie about evidence in an interrogation room in order to get a confession. If a person believes that they're going down for a crime they didn't do, they may tell officers who actually did commit the crime. Our team could find no evidence that Angela had gunshot residue on her clothes. As the end of this case unravels, you'll see why it's highly unlikely she did what the detective is about to accuse her of.
When you shot your husband this morning, what did you do with
my husband? I don't have a conscience to shoot somebody.
I believe that. I believe you don't have a conscience.
I'm having to shoot somebody.
Well, you're going to be charged, okay?
And I just look up and shoot.
Wait a minute.
Can I use the phone?
You've lied to me.
I have not lied to you.
Go back in the room and sit down.
Sherry, I'm not lying to you.
Go back in the room and sit down.
I'm not lying to you.
Sit right there. Sit down.
I'm not lying to you.
This is, I've done everything I can do for you. I can't help you after this point. The evidence points to you.
How can anything be on my hands? And I've never shot a gun.
All I can do is go with my evidence. So go over there and have a seat before I lose my patience with you.
Don't bring with me.
After another 2 hours of waiting in the interrogation room, Angela was released back to her new life as a widow. As sure as detectives were that she was somehow involved in John's murder, they had no physical proof, like a weapon, fingerprints, or DNA linking her to the crime. Cheating may break hearts, but it doesn't stop them, which means law enforcement was still a long way from charging her with murder. That is, until she and her 20-year-old son got into an altercation 6 months after John's murder. Law enforcement was called to stop the fight, which escalated over Angela taking her son's car away. As soon as law enforcement arrived, Angela's son told them that he knew not only who killed John, but where the weapon was. Angela's son reported to officers that Angela disclosed to him that she had her stepfather, CSO Norvell, kill her husband. She had even asked her son to take the gun, which was in a tub of cat litter, and toss it into a pond, which he refused to do. Law enforcement quickly located the gun and ammo hidden in the crawl space under CSO's home. The gun was registered to Angela, and the ammunition matched what was used to end John's life. Angela was sentenced to 20 years for her role in her husband's murder, and her stepfather was acquitted by a jury.